Welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast from Chime, where we bring you the top innovators in digital health leadership with your host, the president and CEO of Chime, Russ Branzell.
Hello and welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast, a Chime Foundation series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the president and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. We continue to live and evolve in challenging times for healthcare professionals, our industry partners, and the people we serve. Leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome a seasoned software industry executive who has committed substantial portion of his career to the service of both our country during his time in the United States Marine Corps Infantry, and now in his impact in our healthcare community. He is known for partnering with colleagues across the industry to advance healthcare operations, giving organizations more time to deliver exceptional patient care. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Simpler and a great friend of Chime. It is my great pleasure to welcome BJ Shaknowski to the program. BJ, welcome.
Thanks, Russ. Absolute pleasure to be with you this morning.
Hey, so let me start with a couple of personal things here, a little off script. I understand you are a Georgia Bulldog. Is that accurate?
I'm a proud business school alum of the two-time defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs. Yes, that is correct.
So my family has had a Georgia Bulldog and every generation go to that school since the school started on my wife's side, not mine. So I am inflicted in my household outside of Atlanta, where I am right now, with a plethora of Bulldogs everywhere amongst this house. So
your family sounds both smart and handsome.
Matter of fact, we have a 100-pound cement Bulldog in our front yard.
That's amazing.
That tells you that. And I also understand you're out in Colorado now.
Yeah. We relocated out in 2017 from North Carolina and have really enjoyed getting our time out here in the Mountain State.
Yeah, I did 11 years out there as part of what ended up being UC Health, which you probably see just about everywhere now out in that neck of the woods.
Oh yeah. And they see me quite frequently for a bad back. So yeah, we're helping support the cause.
Well, as we talked before we started the program, thank you especially for your service to our country and the Marines, and seriously, a debt of gratitude for all you did for our country.
Well, that's very kind, and same to you for your time in the Air Force. As I'm sure you would agree, I think service is very important, and I was humbled and proud to be able to do a little bit of time.
Well, on that note, let's talk a little bit about you and your company here. First of all, how are things going out in the industry right now? We're living in some pretty crazy times, that's for sure. I've been saying this now for about 4 years. I've been waiting for the normal to come back. I don't think we're ever going to get a normal back. And it's just, this is our new normal of living crazy. How are things going at Simpler? Tell us a little bit about the company, how y'all are doing right now.
Yeah, we're doing fantastic, honestly. It's funny, I joined healthcare, you know, a little under 3 years ago now. And so in software for 25 years, but I joined healthcare during the pandemic. So this is the only view other than being a patient that I've ever really had. And the coincidence, or maybe it's the irony of it, is that folks who have been in it for 20, 30, 40 years have told me that it's been, you know, some degree of chaotic the entire time. And it's never really been quote unquote normal. So this state of new non-normalcy is somewhat standard operating procedure, but it's interesting. Simpler is doing incredibly well right now. Our team's doing incredibly well right now. And I think some of that is because I joined healthcare at this weird intersection where a lot of these healthcare systems, because of the spotlight that the pandemic shone on US healthcare, kind of woke up and went, we can't do things this way anymore. We've now got the public looking at us. We've also now got the public support. This is both a chance and an opportunity for us to do things differently. And I think Simpler has been the beneficiary of that at the time where we brought everything together and we've been helping these systems streamline and automate and run more efficiently and, frankly, give their caregivers more time to give care.
Well, maybe a bit of a little elevator speech, 30 seconds or less. Tell us what Simpler is. For those of our listeners that don't really know Simpler, tell us what Simpler is.
Sure. So Simpler is the leader in U.S. healthcare non-clinical operations. And I'll explain what that means. everyone knows you've got your revenue cycle, you know, vendor, you've got your EMR, your EHR, your Epic or your Cerner, you've got your ERP for your financials, but every healthcare system had been working with 50, 80, 100, even 150 different systems to do all the non-clinical work that has to get done to run a healthcare facility. So think about credentialing physicians, think about scheduling nurses, think about having your physicians having better clinical or excuse me, non-clinical or clinical communication between themselves, hiring, onboarding, training, performance managing your workforce, managing contracts or your hospital spend, and finally managing all the different aspects of compliance, quality, and safety. These are all things that have to get done. The thesis of Simplr was bringing together the top one or two applications in each of those areas, making them all look and feel the same, and then creating interoperability between them to really create a more productive, more automated, more efficient healthcare system to the benefit of the patients, to the benefit of the healthcare system financial profile. Probably most importantly for us, I think, everyone else is focused around the patient, which of course is awesome. We're focused around the healthcare worker. If we do our job, healthcare workers will have more time as clinicians with the patients, as administrators with better data to make better decisions about how their companies are run, but we're trying to enable a better healthcare in the US through non-clinical or administrative operations.
I think you've done that once or twice before. You've got that down pretty well.
First timer, man, how'd it feel? Feel pretty good?
Well, let's talk about those healthcare workers a little bit now. And it's, again, I interesting just isn't the right adjective to describe the environment we're in right now, because we hear so many words when we teach our academies, we talk to people, nursing leadership, whether it's in the NHS, this is a global issue now. And we hear things like frustrated and overwhelmed and a word that at first I really thought maybe it was a little overstated. And I was like, burned out, really burned out. And I get it, we came out of the pandemic, but you know, we've been talking about physician burnout for two decades. And boy, now it seems to be having a really stark negative impact on people in our industry in ways really that you have to have some concerns about whether we really can deliver care to the degree we should. And again, I travel around the globe in this position, and this is not a US-centric issue. What are you seeing right now with really these challenges that are being faced from a workforce perspective that really we've never had to deal with in healthcare? And what do you see in ways maybe we can apply a little bit of technology or process to get to a better place?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll state the obvious to start and then maybe try to give a little bit more of a human perspective on what we've seen as well. 43% nursing shortages, right? And even with the boomerang nurses beginning to come back from being travel nurses after the pandemic, right? You're still seeing extraordinary vacancies on shifts, right? You don't have enough nurses. You don't have enough physicians to actually meet the patient demand that we have today, let alone as the boomers continue to age and the demands in the healthcare system become further strained in the next 3 to 5 years, right? These are just facts. The difference now is, and I'll tell a story. I was with the DAISY folks. And so we partner with DAISY to advance nurse recognition, wonderful, wonderful organization. And we were visiting three healthcare systems here in Denver a couple months ago, and we were giving out DAISY awards. And I got a chance to speak to some of the nurses in the hallway after, and they were having their Cinnabons and, celebrating. And I said, you know, what's the biggest challenge? And they said, you know, it's funny, I got into healthcare because I wanted to make a difference. And I find that I spend so much of my day on things that, frankly, I do to check a box or file some paperwork or meet some regulation. But basically what they were saying was, in a nutshell, with a few expletives that made it pretty fun to listen to, you know, I want to provide care. I got into nursing to be a nurse, not to be a computer technician or a computer programmer or somebody who sits in front of a computer all day doing this work. And so I think what's interesting is we are a software company that endeavors to have our users spend the least amount of time humanly possible in our tool, right? But I think that's kind of the mantra, and that's kind of the goal, and that's kind of the inflection point, which is how do we take this opportunity where you have incredible turnover and incredible shortages in staff and do two things. Number one, use your technology to make them more productive, right? More time with patients. A nurse leader who spends 4 to 5 hours a day scheduling nurses is not doing the job that we need him or her doing. They should be mentoring younger nurses. They should be providing care. They should be working with the most critical patients, assisting physicians. They should not be dragging and dropping nurses into empty time slots on a grid. That's low value work, not high value work, but it has to get done. Companies like Simplr, and we're not the only one, but companies like Simplr can remove those tasks. We can use a little bit of AI ML. We can use some good decision rules. We can use some good technology. We can actually integrate that with their payroll system so we know who's on staff. We can integrate that with their clinical communication system. So if a patient is crashing, we can send a notification on their smartphone to the right people. The whole point of this long explanation is we can use technology to make them more effective in their role, more care, better care. And we can use technology to most critically give them time back to provide more care. We just did a survey of CIOs and chief medical officers, and they believe, and this is a big number, they believe, we're working to substantiate this, but if we focus on getting non-clinical administrative work reduced, they could get an extra day back in the week, 8 hours a week of more productive time they have to deliver care. That's the mission of Simplr. That's what I think technology can do for this unbelievably overworked workforce.
You know, it's interesting because we spend a lot of time and one of the programs, subcomponent programs we teach is high performing work teams. And we've been spending some time with the nurses over in the NHS, and, you know, they compete on a global scale to try to get nurses into the UK. And there's entire hospitals now that do not have a English born nurse, meaning somebody mm-hmm. that was born in that country, because they just don't have enough. Matter of fact, I have a very good friend who runs one of the largest health systems in all of India, and they believe there's somewhere between 2.8 and 5 million nurses short just for India. The entire world only produces 2.3 million nurses in the programs today.
Yep.
I mean, what does that tell you when you start thinking about this? Matter of fact, I made another comment. As we think about these opportunities here, and I think we really do have to approach this as a crazy opportunity for us to not transform healthcare, but to revolutionize the way healthcare is delivered. I made the comment, truly flippant comment, in front of a lot of very senior nurses in the NHS. And I said, we've got to figure out how to get rid of 20 to 40% of non-essential work just to survive and be able to deliver care.
Yep.
And one of the nurses looked at me and she said, you are absolutely wrong. The number is 60 to 75%.
Oh, wow.
She goes, we have to work as a minimum in our top 30% of our core skill. And we need to see a 3 to 5X productivity improvement per nurse. And I started doing the math on this and go, that is not an evolution or a transformation. That is radically changing the way care has to be delivered with technology. And so when you're doing the work you're doing, where are you seeing the really big opportunities? Where are those high performers, superstar, best practice type organizations? Where are they hitting operations to really combat this problem? It's not just bad now, it's going to get far worse given yep. what we see in the demographics.
Well, and the funny part about it, right, is, and maybe this is good, maybe this is scary, but it's not some cutting edge quantum compute generative AI solution. It's actually, this is so simple. And again, this is where the newbie, this is where the technologist who comes to healthcare looks at it and goes, this is a little bit wackadoodle. But the systems who are the most productive, the systems who have the best patient safety record, the systems who have the lowest nurse turnover, and I think as importantly, maybe one's the leading, one's the lagging indicator, the highest employee engagement in their systems are the ones that are actually doing what I would call the table stake things the best. What does that mean? It's very rare now, particularly in these multi-facility systems, that you have a nurse that only works out of one facility. They're typically here in Colorado, right? You might be going to Boulder, you might be going to Lakewood, you might be going to Broomfield, you might be going to Westminster. So it's not uncommon that a nurse gets dropped into 3, 4, 5 facilities if it's part of the same system. And if you think about what we just talked about with the nursing shortages, it makes a ton of sense. What happens when that nurse goes to a different facility and he or she can't log into the system because they have to have different credentials, or doesn't understand the process and workflow in that system because it's completely unique and discrete from the one that they were working in yesterday, right? Or they actually can't communicate with a physician on staff because they're dummy pager or smartphone device is actually synced to their other system. And so the systems who are actually making system-wide decisions and standardizing workflows and processes. And again, there are going to be some things that are discrete and how physicians work or how, you know, different practices of medicine, of course. But if you think about an opportunity for a large system or a medium-sized system, multi-facility, to actually say, this is our standard way of doing something and we will not deviate from it, you'll actually get significant productivity enhancements. And the best way to do that typically, Russ, right, is through technology, right? The technology, the system drives the process. Then you have governance, you have automation, you have data and visibility into the effectiveness. You can identify deficiencies and remediate where appropriate, right? You can reduce risk by having leading indicators where there might be exposure, right? And so again, it sounds so simple, but standardization and consolidation of technology systems, workflows, processes is the number one driver of productivity and then all the associated benefits that come along with it. And we the more we do this work, the more I can tell you that with complete conviction, because we've seen it be true.
Wow, it's interesting, because after I got out of the military, one of the first things I did was get professionally trained by this organization that now is part of UC Health in Colorado on the Baldrige methodology. And that's really how they live. They live on repeatable process, know your process, known results, constantly improving those processes, and amazing things can happen. You don't have to have a great innovation. You just have to be really consistent about getting better every single day. That I love the way you're looking at that and saying table stakes.
People get mad at me all the time because I kind of like to be controversial and walk into these rooms. I've done it with students actually at the University of Georgia. They've asked me to come speak at some of these classes. And I said, listen, I've been in business for 20 something years. Innovation is overrated. Yes, you have your transformational moments. You have your somebody invented the internet, somebody invented social media, somebody who's going to, you know, really advance AI ML meaningfully. The rest of what we do, you get the most credit for what creates the best outcome. And the best outcomes are actually sustainable, repeatable performance, regardless of what you're doing. And what could be more important than having sustainable, repeatable quality in the function of delivering health? And so to me, getting the basics right is so fundamentally important, yet so often overlooked in the pursuit of the next big thing. And man, the systems that are really focused on what is high value work versus low value work? How do I automate or, you know, use technology to get rid of the low value work? How do I keep my clinicians practicing at the top of their license? How do I impact patient care? How do I see the most patients? And then how do I repeat and iterate and repeat and iterate up and to the right every day? Those are the systems doing it right, who I think every other system, those are going to be your new magnet systems and everything else. And again, there's an opportunity now because of the pandemic to create this consolidation where it had always been facility by facility. And I think it's going to be to the benefit of healthcare.
Well, I think it's interesting because you and I both for many years put on a uniform, which is not only a piece of clothing, it's a standard way of looking and dressing. And I think it's funny in healthcare, you know, we have nurses, and the reason doctors wear coats and nurses wear the white coats is so they can be uniform and be recognized. And that's one of the things we still haven't quite figured out in healthcare, is there's a lot of variation. Well, let's talk a little bit about your organization's team and its kind of mindset. Sure. You know, little bird fed to me a thought process, and I love hearing about how different organizations, and in your case, CEO, lead. You have a mantra in your organization, to see if I get this right: transparency at all costs, but also be nice to everyone all the time. Is that the mantra of the organization there, or the leadership team?
That's certainly something that I have subscribed to and that I've tried to bring with me.
So what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that statement mean to you and your team and your organization and our industry?
Yeah. I mean, candidly, it's a representation of how Simplr treats its employees and how we show up internally. And as a result, it should be exactly how we show up externally, because there should be no difference. And what it means is, you know, we spend a lot of time, and I grew up in big companies, and lots of leaders were afraid to say anything. Maybe it moves the share price, maybe it was career limiting for them. And I never understood that. And you end up seeing these divisions between, you know, C-suites or executive teams or senior teams and rank and file team members. And I think that creates real risk to whatever the organization is. And so when this experiment of me being a CEO became reality, we took a different approach, and we are transparent with our employees constantly. We deliver hard messages, but it's the what and the how. We believe that we can tell our employees anything and we can explain anything. And as long as you explain the how or the why, they may not even agree with you, but they'll come along with you because you've treated them like adults and you've respected their intellectual capacity. And again, I think individuals are smart and groups can be dumb, and we treat people like individuals. And as a result, I think that they think about their employment was simpler that way. And I think that transcends into our relationships with our customers, our healthcare systems. And if you think about what that means, a lot of small companies, and Simpler's gotten pretty big. We're almost 2,000 employees now. We're in 97 out of 100 healthcare facilities in the US. But healthcare technology decisions are like marriages, 10, 20, 30 year decisions. You have to have a partner. That only works if you have good relationships. And for a long time, a lot of smaller companies would say yes to whenever a healthcare system said, can you do this? Or I want you to do that. And Simpler, we're trying to do it a little bit differently. And we're a work in process too. We've acquired 7 companies since I've been here. We've grown quite a bit. We're creating a lot of the standards that we've talked about for these healthcare systems ourselves right now. But I got to tell you, what we do commit to our customers is that we'll show up and we'll tell you the truth. And we'll tell you the truth as we see it. And we respect our position, right? At the end of the day, they're still paying the bills, but we also believe it's our obligation to say no if we see them doing something objectively wrong, or to say there's a better way if we see them making a decision that we think's not best practice or lower than a benchmark. And so, and the second part of that was, but be nice to everybody all the time. There's just, I don't know, man, it's a different generation. It's a different time. What I grew up with in the 70s and 80s, looking at what corporate executives were, I don't think, hopefully doesn't exist anymore. And if it does, it shouldn't. There's no reason to be mean. You can be direct and you can be kind. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. And we do try to be nice to people all the time. And we do try to treat people well. We have a no asshole policy. I stick by that very firmly. No brilliant jerks is another one that we talk about a lot, but it's part of a team. And if you want to be on a team, you got to treat people well. You got to do your best work. You got to be highly accountable. You got to tell the truth all the time. This exists in our 5 core values that we talk about and recognize employees for every quarter. But yeah, I just think I think it's a better way of doing business. And I think it's worked really well for us. And I think our customers are seeing it and the recipients of that transparency as well.
Well, BJ, I'm going to throw one last curveball at you here. And I reserve this one for those I really want to throw a hard curveball at. And that is, I call it the ruler for a day kind of thing. And I'm going to place you in a unique situation here. Let's just say, the next administration rolls around, doesn't matter if it's left or right, red or blue. And they say, you know what, we need a new Secretary of Health and Human Services. It's got a different mindset.
Yeah.
If you could be in a job like that, where you could make an absolute impact like you are in this company, but do it on a grand scale of our entire governmental system.
Yep.
What's something you would love to see run differently? What would you like to see done at a corporate level for healthcare in this country that would make a fundamental impact for patients and the organizations you serve?
Yeah, I would. I know. We've actually talked to folks about how we could help advance this, but I can tell you exactly what we'd do. And it is somewhat biased in my point of view, but I do have somewhat of a narrow view of healthcare. So I'll offer this from my perspective. Meaningful use was the beginning of the digitization of healthcare all those years ago. I think you need a 2.0. And I think what I would do is I would lobby and I would work with Congress to basically appropriate funds from the infrastructure bill or build back better to the tune of, I don't even know what the number would be, $100, $150 billion, whatever is appropriate based on the need, but to similarly fund the modernization of healthcare technology and infrastructure and processes, think data security and privacy, think non-clinical operations, think interoperability, think just the digital training and competency of the healthcare worker, right? And I would almost do meaningful use 2.0, but around the next level iteration of digital standards, transformation or standardization to the benefit of everyone, because we will have a healthcare crisis on our hands in the next 5 to 10 years mean, hell, some would argue we're already beginning to see it, right? How long does it take to get an MRI, or how long does it take to get a knee scope right now? Just, it's months, right? Because there's so much demand, there isn't enough supply. But I think it becomes existential in the next decade or so because of the aging population of the boomers and what will be their needs if we don't get this right. So for me, I'd appropriate the appropriate funds. I'd invest in healthcare systems to work with companies like me and the many others out there like us that can actually help them do this work, create standardization. It'll benefit the nurses. It'll benefit the administrators. It'll benefit the physicians. It'll benefit the patients. But most importantly, it'll benefit society for years to come, because we'll actually have a foundationally more competent and stronger healthcare system than we do today that should last us a few decades.
Well, BJ, unfortunately, this is the end of our time for this podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the program and really, truly spend some time talking about some of the toughest topics we have right now, which is our workforce and making sure they're as healthy as they can be to take care of everybody else. Thank you for your service to our country again, but more importantly now, thank you for your service to healthcare for everybody.
Well, thanks, Russ. We couldn't be more proud to be a Chime partner, and we're thankful for all you're doing to advance technology inside the category. So it's a mutual adoration society, and we're proud to be in this with you.
Well, thanks. Also, thank you for listening to this episode of Chime's Leader to Leader podcast. As always, you can visit us at our website, chimecentral.org/media, or Spotify to listen to this and all the podcasts of great top healthcare leaders. Continue to innovate, transform, and create positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout the communities you serve. For now, stay safe and God bless.